The Treasury Salute, featuring Jim Amici in a salute to a hero of the war, Private First Class William Craft. And now the Treasury salute to Private First Class William Craft.
Hold it, Jack. Let me have that G and B again, huh? I'm blurring. I don't get that clean-cut progression that you get, Jack. Let's try it again. I gotta get that B natural.
B natural. Yeah, B natural. B natural, Bill Craft, and go on playing your trumpet. Forget about that plate in your head. Forget about those months of silence. Forget that 15 weeks ago you learned to talk all over again. The world needs sweet music. And you're the sort of guy who can show us how to play it. But will you show us how to play the game of life, too? Well, your rules look pretty good. Mind if we take a good look at them?
Don't you guys ever fill out these enlistment blanks right? Now, why didn't you put the date in? July 10th, 1943.
Oh, sorry, Sergeant. I didn't notice.
Yeah, you didn't notice. A good Marine notices everything. That's why he's a Marine.
Yes, sir.
William Craft, born Uniontown, Pennsylvania, June 19th, 1926. Graduated Uniontown High. Work. Hey, wait a minute, Craft.
Huh?
Vision 4100. That's too weak for the Marines.
Oh, but heck, my eyes are okay, Sarge. Honest.
Look, son, you want me to lose my stripes?
No, but... Okay, Sarge.
But 6 months later, Bill Craft's eyes were good enough for the Army. His country needed him, so he was drafted in March of 44. He got sent to Fort McClellan, Alabama, for basic infantry training. At night, he'd relax with his sights.
Yes, sir, Billy boy. You were as good as Charlie Barnett on that ride.
The horn does it, not me.
Say, where'd you learn to play like that?
Well, I've been playing the saxophone for 7 years. Play the licorice stick, too.
Uh-oh, now, take it easy. How old are you?
18.
Oh, child prodigy, huh?
No, I just like music so much that, well, someday I'm going to have my own dance band.
Oh, no. Now, wait a minute. Look out, Dorsey Brothers. Here comes Kraft with the hottest music this side of Hades. Make with the music, maestro.
Six months later, in the fall of 44, Bill Craft had left his sax far behind him. He was playing a different kind of music, with a machine gun. He was with the 80th Infantry Division, stationed in Strasbourg in the Saar. Like the rest of his gang, he was getting a bit fed up. Ever since he'd hit the beach at Marseille, he'd been chasing Nazis. They were pushovers. They had no guts. But he wasn't fed up when the crowds threw their Sunday punch in the Bulge.
Sounds like they've been saving it all for us, don't it, Bill?
Yeah, Tom. We're lucky it's so dark. They can't see us.
Yeah, it's darker than they are down a bear's throat.
My glasses keep fogging up in this cold.
Want me to take your gun over?
No, thanks, Tom. She's my baby.
The barrage is open.
Yeah.
Bill, here they come. Make with the music, maestro!
One 150 dead Nazis were found around Bill Kraft's machine gun emplacement the next morning. 75 were found on another morning. The Marines missed a good bet when they turned down Bill Kraft. Well, our army stopped the Germans in the Bulge and started after them. One day, Bill was on patrol with Tom, his buddy.
Say, Tom,
mm-hmm.
You see that house over there, the one with the green shutters?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's in it. No shooting's been coming from it. I've been watching it for the last couple of minutes.
I see it, Bill.
I'm going to make a break for it. Cover me. When I get set, I'll cover you.
Okay.
Made it.
Schweinhund!
Jerry's!
Bill Kraft was a lucky GI that day. A buddy had seen those Jerrys in that house and plunked a grenade through a window. It saved Bill's life, but he landed in the hospital with minor wounds.
Good morning, Kraft.
Morning, sir.
How are you feeling?
Fine, sir. All set to go.
Go where?
Back to my outfit.
How long have you worn glasses, Kraft?
Just about all my life, sir. Why?
Would you feel unhappy if you couldn't go back to your outfit?
You mean I'm being attached to a new outfit?
Kraft, if you were to return to the front lines with your eyes in their weakened condition, I couldn't guarantee your safety. I'm ordering you removed from combat status.
So that was the end of combat duty for Bill Kraft. He got put in the GRO. That's the Graves Registration Office. Not a very pleasant job. But anyway, you figure at least Jerry's aren't shooting at you, so it's a pretty safe job. Yeah, not when you have to go out and bring them in from a minefield. Oh, sure, they said it was cleared that day, March 7th, 1945.
Tired, Kraft?
A little, Lieutenant.
Well, bring the stretcher along.
Okay, sir.
You know, Kraft, I've been thinking it's about time you received a promotion.
Well, thank you, sir.
After supper, you remind me to send the first sir.
No one was to blame. The engineer sappers had done their best. Nobody's perfect. The lieutenant was killed instantly, and Bill was hit on the head with a piece of shrapnel. He didn't know what happened to him until he came to 2 weeks later in a hospital in England. A letter from Tom was read to him.
When the mine blew up, everybody thought you were killed. You lay out in that field for a whole day. Then Sergeant Devine said he heard somebody groaning. It was you. So they called medic and they took you away. The doctors told me all this at the hospital where they took you. You see, Bill, your skull was shattered so bad they thought you were going to die. But you didn't, so they sent you to England. Well, that's about all, except that the old gang send their best and hope that you'll be up and around in a little while. Tom.
Bill didn't answer Tom's letter. He couldn't. His whole right side was paralyzed, and he'd lost the power of speech. Sometimes his mind went blank for days, and he'd lie in his bed like a living dead man. They brought Bill home to the States, to the Thomas England General Hospital at Atlantic City. The docs put a plate in Bill's head. He'd had a hole the size of a lemon in it. Then they went to work on his paralysis and made a little progress. But most of all, they worked on his speech. They tried everything to get him to talk. At first, they begged him.
Kraft, can you hear me? If you can, blink your eyes. Good. Now, listen, I want you to try to talk. Say anything. Anything that comes to your mind. Just open your mouth and force it out. That's it. That's it. Now say something. Look, boy. Don't you realize your brain is all right? We've done all we can do for you. It's up to you. Now try. Try.
But begging try. Didn't work. So the doc tried insulting Bill.
So they gave you the Croix de Guerre last week for your fighting in the Bulge, eh, Kraft? Well, I don't think you deserved it. What do you think of that? Well, that's a medal the French give a man with guts. You're even afraid to try to talk. Afraid to say anything. Aren't you? Yeah, and you try to pass yourself off as a musician, too. That's hot stuff. Why, you couldn't even play the radio. What do you think of that?
Now, don't get the doc wrong. He was only trying to help Bill. He knew Bill could speak. It was a question of starting him out.
The doc knew how Bill loved music, so he brought in a violinist who played every day for Bill.
Beautiful, isn't it, Bill? I bet you could play that passage on the sax easily, couldn't you? Couldn't you, Bill? Couldn't you?
It looked as if Bill was never going to speak again. Then one day, about 15 weeks ago, the doc had another idea. He figured it was the best he'd had for this case. So he went to Bill.
Hello, Bill. Feeling okay this morning? Well, I've got a surprise for you. You're going to like it. I've arranged a long-distance phone call to 47 Lincoln Street, Uniontown, Pennsylvania. Oh, orderly, put the phone down here and plug it into the wall over there, will you? Thank you. Hello?
Hello?
Mrs. Kraft, this is Major Fisher. He's right here beside me. I've got the phone at his bedside. I'll give it to him and you can talk to him yourself.
Hello? Hello, Bill. Bill, can you hear me, dear? Bill, you can talk to me, dear. I want to hear you tell me everything is all right, son.
Mom.
And that was Bill Trapp's first word after 8 months of silence. Mom. Hardly a word to hear it. But to him and the doc and Bill's folks, it was the works. He was out of the dark. He made it. And with the passing of time, Bill's been learning to talk all over again. And you can find him now almost any day, all day long, in the music room of the Thomas England General Hospital. He can't play the sax or clarinet anymore, but he's learning to play the trumpet.
I got it that time, Jack. That B natural wasn't so hard.
No, Bill Kraft, it wasn't so hard. You got that B natural. Go on and get the rest of it so you can give us that sweet music. The world needs people who make music.
This month, your government would like to urge you to join the Payroll Savings Plan. This is a plan which is sponsored by labor and management alike, a plan which makes it easy for you to save for your future. Every payday, your company will deduct whatever amount you desire from your pay envelope and apply it to the purchase of United States savings bonds. During the war, millions of Americans took advantage of the Payroll Savings Plan and learned the value of saving. Today, those same millions have a feeling of security because of the war bonds they bought through payroll savings. You can achieve that same feeling by continuing to remain on the payroll savings plan or by joining the plan at your own company. United States savings bonds are the world's safest investment, and the payroll savings plan is the easiest, most methodical way to help you accumulate a reserve for the future. So buy United States savings bonds, and where you can, buy them through payroll savings. The United States Treasury thanks Jim Amici, Jimmy McCallion, and the other distinguished artists who appeared on this specially transcribed program. The Treasury Salute was written by John M. Coppinger and directed by Mark Goodson. The music was under the direction of Mark Warno. This is Ed Darlington speaking. Remember, buy United States savings bonds and hold them. They're an investment in the future, your country's future, and your future.